The EMS Educast is a podcast by and for EMS educators. Every week, our panel of education experts hosts a program that brings you the latest and greatest in EMS education technology, methods, and techniques. Your hosts will regularly bring you guests from all over the world to tell you about innovative EMS education programs and experiences in other places. Join us each week for the EMS Educast. And visit www.emseducast.com to subscribe with iTunes or the RSS feed, listen to archived shows, and view future show descriptions. The EMS Educast.
Welcome back, everyone, to part two of this special series of EMS Educast episodes about podcasting. It's a podcast about podcasting, which is much better than a show about nothing. So we're happy that you're tuning in for the second episode and joining me again, as always. This is Greg Freese, one of the co-hosts, and then also far to the north and a little bit to the east, Rob Terrio. Hello, Rob.
Hi, Greg. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, very well. I had an invigorating jog this afternoon. It's like shorts weather here again, like mid-50s, and so that was quite nice.
Nice. Well, April. It's not quite that warm here, but we're getting there.
Good. Good, and you're probably really working your students fierce here in the last couple days.
We have 2 weeks left, so yeah, we're down to the wire now. Students are cramming and panicking, and you know, I keep thinking it'd be really fun to produce a crop of Cliff Clavins of paramedicine. You know, people who have fully loaded holsters and are going out there checking for Babinski reflexes and carotid bruit and things that are just completely off the wall.
Having
my last retiring year, I'll produce some students who've crossed that line from keener to wiener.
Having
you
every
we're not supposed to do those things.
Certainly could. You know, you might have every patient open their mouth and then grade their melon potty score.
and you mean you don't do things like that?
I thought you actually said melon potty, as in going potty. That's why I laugh. That's really disturbing. I think I prefer that one.
Yeah. How do you say melon potty?
Melon patty.
Melon patty. How about you, Bill?
Malin Patty.
Okay. I stand corrected. And hopefully, fiercely taking notes or scrolling through his notes from this Airway Chapters, Ron Davis, the EMS newbie. Ron, welcome back.
Thanks. And I recognize some of those names of the stuff that you guys say we're not supposed to do. I don't know, but I don't remember exactly what they were. That was all last semester. I forget all that stuff, like, you know, as soon as semester's over.
Spoken like a true student.
Yeah.
Ron, certainly thanks for the shout out to the show, last week's show on your recent episode of the EMS Newbie podcast. And Bill, I don't know if I officially welcomed you into the show, but officially welcome.
Thank you. And I was just going to say it's 71 degrees here in the land of Oz, which is beautiful.
Yeah. Good.
So a great day, and I'm hope you're all jealous.
Are you getting paid by the Department of Tourism tonight or something? Yeah.
No, but the rule around here is wait 5 minutes, the weather will change.
Well, you know, for a large part of people making a cross-country journey, Kansas is on the way.
That's right. And a model EMS system to visit is in Johnson County, Kansas.
And Jim Hoffman in New York State. Welcome, Jim.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks for having me. A little colder up here, though, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
Still a little flurries today.
Wow.
But nothing stuck.
But well, I want to start.
I am jealous, Bill.
I want to start the conversation tonight about podcasting. Just to ask you guys about podcasts that you listen to, preferably non-EMS podcasts, and what you've maybe learned from those, the hosts of those podcasts, or techniques that you've tried to bring into your shows. You know, certainly we can learn a lot from other podcasters, sort of like we're doing in this series. So Who wants to start us off with a podcast that you listen to and something you've learned that you've incorporated into your own podcasting show?
Well, Greg.
No.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I listen to a lot of marketing type podcasts. So I like. I've actually hooked on a new one right now called "I Love Marketing," and it's kind of what they see as far as marketing. And this, I forget their last name, but the main guy's name is Gene, and they do a pretty good 1 hour or so podcast. And things that I like listening to a lot of different podcasts, even stuff like this here, because I get a little bit of a feel. As I think the intro is important. I think we mentioned this last week as far as in the very beginning, kind of pointing out what the show is and what you're going to be talking about, which is something I've been trying to implement in my podcast, is to try to get in what the topic is early on in the show, so that people kind of know right away what to expect, and anyone that's new to it is kind of aware of what's going to be coming up.
There's a podcast that I learned a lot from the host called Internet Business Mastery, and they talk about internet business. But one of the things that I learned from them that I thought was interesting was this idea. They have two hosts, and they talk back and forth, kind of like Newbie has two hosts, and my other podcast on photography has two hosts. And what ends up happening when you have two people that are talking back and forth, or multiple people, though I think it works better with two, is as a listener, you feel like you're part of that discussion, and you feel like you really get to know them. And there's a higher level of connection you get than if it's just one guy talking to you. I think we go into kind of a different mental state when we're just listening to one person talk than we are when we're listening to two people talk. And so that's one thing I learned from them.
I find it truly amazing that some people can actually do a podcast and by themselves and talk. There's a podcast that I listen to once in a while. It's called ERCast by Dr. Rob Orman. And he does mix it up. He'll spend some time talking without a guest, and then he'll bring a guest in later. And I'm always in awe at how he manages to pull that off with enthusiasm and without lots of awes, and then bring his guest in a nice segue sort of way that I find quite remarkable.
And I just want to welcome in Kyle Bates, host of many, many podcasts, has joined this show. Kyle, welcome.
Good evening, everybody. How are you?
We're all well. And just briefly, what are the podcasts that you host?
The two that I host right now are The Few Moments as well as PDU.
Okay. And we'll have you type those into the Skype chat so Bill can add them to the show notes. But the question that I asked was, what are some non-EMS podcasts that you listen to, and what have you learned from those podcast hosts that you try to emulate or techniques you've used?
Should I tell the truth or should I lie?
Do you only listen to EMS podcasts?
I only listen to EMS podcasts, believe it or not.
I'm sure you could find a hockey podcast out there.
You know, I'm going around so much, I have very little time, and that's what kind of stinks. I'm so busy doing projects for, you know, certain clients and stuff like that.
<All right. laughs>
I try to get those done.
How about you, Bill? Do you listen to other non-EMS podcasts?
No, I do not, so I feel inadequate tonight.
Don't take it personally. There's a lot out there.
I'm just looking at my iTunes site, and I've got 41 podcasts that I subscribe to. So I'm a bit of a podcast addict, and I listen to a lot of non-paramedic or EMS podcasts. One, you know, as mentioning people who host shows by themselves and don't have guests on, there's the name of the physician escapes me, but there's a podcast called Chicago Talks Cast. And it's a physician out of Chicago, obviously, and he does the show on his own, and he puts these really cool clips of music where the lyrics talk about a certain toxidrome, and then he talks to the toxidrome and describes it and does a little bit of a journal review where he talks about research about that particular toxin, and then he'll do a whole series of journal articles on that particular toxin. He's quite amazing. But the podcasts I listen to range from, BBC Click, which is a digital podcast, to Tapped In. There's one podcast people have to listen to just for pure humor. It's called Quackcast, and it's written by a leading infectious disease doctor. And Quackcast is basically about half an hour to 45 minutes of sarcasm, sarcastic criticism of, you know, what he deems quackery or non-science. So he takes these various non-mainstream medical topics and goes through the literature on them, or basically debunks them, and it's absolutely hysterical. So he talks about alternative medicine, for example, naturopathic medicine, and I hope I'm not offending any people who are into naturopathic medicines, but he says, well, you know, if we believe in alternative medicine, how about alternative aviation? And he spends a whole 45 minutes talking about alternative aviation and alternative views of gravity and whole 45 minutes by himself, and it's absolutely hysterical.
Has he done spinal immobilization yet?
Maybe it could be a good listener submission.
Yeah.
You know, I listen to a lot of different things, but in news, like interview format shows, and then sports related podcasts, and then comedy podcasts. And I think one of the things that I always try to listen for is like how they ask questions, because I feel like a lot of times it takes me a lot of words to actually ask a question. And then I try to think of like, is this guest comment worthy of a follow-up question, or will the host go to their next question? So that's what I kind of try to work on.
I think some of the other non-podcast shows are good, you know, in terms of the news shows, you know, Meet the Press, you know, CNN Headline News, any of those, watching those reporters and those hosts kind of ask their questions. Even anything like Jay Leno and the late night shows, I think, are always good things to look at.
Yeah, Jay Leno probably hasn't been good to look at for about 5 years, but I'll give you that other late night comedy. So Russell Stein joined the show. Russell, welcome back to the station and into the podcast.
Hello.
We're glad we're able to add you. But I feel like I've lost some people, though. Whoops. Huh. Well, I got to get Bill back. But anyway, while I work on that, this is a good
segue. I have a tip.
Go ahead.
If you want me to talk for a minute. When you mentioned how to ask questions, I learned from, I think it was the Internet Business Mastery guys again, but one of the things they said was when you ask a question, instead of just asking a very specific question about a very specific thing, you say, tell me about a time when, and then talk about the topic. You know, so like I guess an EMS would be, can you tell me about a time when you had to intubate a patient in this conditions, you know? And then you get a story instead of getting an answer. And people like the stories. So that's a little tip that I've used more on my other podcast, not so much with Kelly, because you pretty much get a story from Kelly anytime you ask him a question. But on my other one where I interview photographers and models, I use that one a lot, because sometimes when you're interviewing someone who doesn't do it a lot, you feel like you're having to drag the information out of the person. And using that little trick will help you get a little more interaction with them from it.
Well, that is the perfect segue, because that was sort of my next question was, what are some things you do to keep the conversation moving? So that's a great tip. What about other people, especially when you're interviewing someone, what are some things you do to keep the conversation moving?
I always try to think of back to teaching and some things that come up in classes, some questions, and even if they're off the wall, because I always try to think of someone listening to this podcast who's disagreeing with what we're saying or going, well, yeah, but, and try to ask a question for them. And I know oftentimes we have the communications in the chat going, really, I don't believe this, but someone out there is probably thinking this. And it sometimes leads to some really good debate and discussion.
Nice. How about you, Jim?
Yeah, I try to do the same like Kyle just mentioned, that you try to think of things that you can may not necessarily agree with what you're saying wholeheartedly, but something that you can try to elicit that
that conversation, you know, or to maybe get on another path. I mean, Greg, you know, I've interviewed you actually a while back, and one of the things that when I have a set interview with somebody, a lot of times I'll have a list of questions already, you know, set up and kind of have it laid out, and then I also have little side questions. So if the person interviewing isn't giving me a long enough answer, I'll kind of throw in some additional questions related to the one that I just asked that they might not be aware of, but depending upon what their answers are.
Russell or Bill or Rob?
I usually try to play devil's advocate. You know, they'll present a position on something, and I'll try to work around it or something like that, and try to elicit that, you know, try to elicit that response to you know, information that I really want to know, or that somebody else may really want to know when they're listening to this and don't necessarily agree with it, or you know, something like that. I'll try to pull out, you know, why the basis of their argument by being adversarial, I guess.
Bill, you're always good on our show of keeping the conversation moving. Do you have a specific strategy that you use, or is it just sort of a natural role for you in lots of group situations?
Well, you know, being from New York, Jim can understand this, Kyle can too, you know, it just comes natural for a New Yorker.
To just be the guy that stirs the pot?
Well, certainly someone who can carry on a conversation, and I don't even necessarily need anyone with me to carry on that conversation.
Nice.
I'm glad you said it.
Hey.
Well, I enjoy the answers that I get sometimes. So.
Maybe, Rob, we should give Bill a chance to do one of those solo podcasts.
That sounds like a good idea.
You just want to be entertained.
Always. So this the next thing that I'm curious about is, and Ron introduced this term to me in our email correspondence of pod fade and overcoming pod fade, and I think the internet is littered with lots of well-intentioned podcasts that maybe got 5 episodes or 10 episodes, and then quite a while went by and there was a burst of a few more episodes, and then the thing just sort of disappeared. And you know, all of you have recorded quite a few episodes and managed to keep things going. And so, Ron, maybe just define the term for us and then tell us about how you've had to overcome pod fade with your podcasts.
Okay. Pod fade is kind of exactly what you said, where you start out strong and then it just kind of peters out and disappears. I heard somewhere there was statistics that the average podcast lasts 7 episodes. That's as long as it keeps going. And if you think that's the average, and there are ones that have hundreds, that means most people die after 2 or 3. And one of the things I've done, and I have 2 podcasts. So I have the EMS Newbie podcast, but I also have the Photographer and Model podcast. And we're coming up on episode 100. And one of the things that I think is important is to have a system in place to make it as easy as possible to do the episode, to keep it going. In the case of Photographer and Model, there was a point, I don't know, about a year ago, and then there was another point right before I started EMS and started basic and then paramedic school, where I really kind of analyzed all the things that had to be done. And some of them I gave to other people. Like my co-host on that one is my producer now. And for me, producer has a very specific meaning. That means she handles finding the guests. She handles arranging the recording time. After it's over, she gets any information we need for show notes from them. My audio editor does the editing. Then she puts the show notes on there. She makes the blog post. All that stuff is set up in a very formal way, and she handles most of it. So that's for me been great, because then when I don't really want to do it, it's like, well, all I really have to do is, you know, show up today. And then with Newbie, it's a little different because I don't have anybody else doing the producing part, but it's also something that we do on a weekly basis which means I kind of have to do it every weekend, or I feel bad, and, you know, Kelly will be like, okay, when are we doing this? When are you going to be there? So that's one of the advantages of having a co-host, is you have that kind of accountability to it as well. And another thing I did with Photographer and Model is we batch up the episodes. So if your podcast does not deal with current events, so it doesn't deal with things that happen during the week, then I would say you don't need to record more than maybe once a month, depending on the length of your podcast. Like with Photographer and Model, the podcast ended up being like 20 to 40 minutes. And we now record one evening every month. We just line up the interviews. We do four in a night, and we're done. And we don't have to worry about it till next month, except doing a little scheduling for next month. So if you're not current events, then you can do more than one episode at a time. It may be a little longer on that one time, but then you don't have to worry about it doing it later. So those are my tips for avoiding pod fade.
Nice.
So Ron, you're in school. You'll be finished school soon. Do you worry that once you're finished your paramedic training, that you'll run out of questions for Kelly, or do you think do you ever wonder if Kelly will run out of stories? I suspect not. But does that concern you at all?
No, not. Well, there's two things. First of all, I just don't think that far. I'm not thinking that far. To me, right now, my brain is about to explode because we're at the end of the semester, but I'm not really thinking that far into my career and whether or not I'll run out of stuff. I figure, to me, a lot of my questions come from my clinicals, and I figure my first year or so as a paramedic is going to be like having lots of clinicals every week. So I'm going to have lots of stuff that's still new to me. The way it is will be different. Now it's me, I have to handle it. It's not, I'm a student and somebody else has to handle it. Although, you know, there'll be some aspect of that too, because I don't expect that they'll just hand me the keys. I sure hope they don't just hand me the keys and go, you're the guy. That would be bad. So I figure there'll still be stuff to talk about.
I think that's what they did with Carlos on Third Watch. Carlos got the keys and I think he killed a pedestrian, and then he was back to driving again the very next week.
Yeah. When I interviewed Dr. Dries, the head of my department, he said you need to look at the places that you interview, because there are places where if you're a paramedic and you get a job there, you're going to show up day one. They don't care how much experience you got. They found a paramedic, and they're going to hand you the keys to the ambulance and go, there you go, you're the man. Yeah. And I don't think I really want to work for one of those people when I first get out.
But, Jim, your experience with pod fade, and if you've had to overcome it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's especially in the beginning. I mean, I was actually doing the podcast by myself a lot, and I'd have to pretty much prep for the show and get bullet points and get enough content, you know, to last at least that 30 minutes I was shooting for. So one of the things I do now is I try to go and kind of be a lurker in forums and Facebook and stuff like that, and look for topics that seem to be important to the EMS, you know, population, and then either put my own little spin on it or even just talk about it directly. And I find that can really open up the topics, and it also lets me invite a lot of people that are in those forums to come listen to the show live or come listen to the recording. And I seem to be getting, you know, a lot more visits, a lot more conversation that way as well. So that kind of helps out. With that, since I've been doing that, I've actually been being able to get like a list of topics that's kind of, you know, growing. So I'm not really lurking as much. I'm just getting a list of topics and either combining them or finding, you know, how I can kind of meld one into another and make a show out of it.
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea. Just to, you know, it's kind of like standing in the garage, right, and listening to sort of what are the topics du jour, but you can get a wider audience. Kyle, it sounds like you might be in the midst of some pod fade. Tell us what's going on and what you're doing to overcome it, or maybe we can offer up some tips to help you out.
Yeah, the PDU podcast, which is a very specific podcast on pediatrics. Dr. Lou Romig, Dr. Peter Antivy have been great supports of it. The hard part is their physicians, their ER physicians, they're on rotations, and trying to get them down to specific days and times is always a challenge with that. We now have a new doctor who may be coming on, Dr. B.G. Koops out of Alaska. We spoke with her while we're up there in Fairbanks at the conference. Also, topics is always easy. There's a ton of pediatric topics, but it's such a focused, very, very focused podcast that we need people with expertise in the area. We've had some pediatric nurses that have come on, but, trying to sit down and record, three or four sessions is difficult. We do about one, and then most of everybody's ready to go at that point. So that's been the hardest part, just trying to do some scheduling. I'm doing a new method to schedule now. I'm trying out Google Wave and some other websites to try for us to be able to easily bring all of our schedules together.
Russell, have you hit Podfade yet?
Yeah, kind of after the what I call the first season, the first 10 episodes. We broke in December to... It's kind of a holiday break because no one's schedule's lined up. And then I recorded an episode last week or the week before, so we're about due for another one. What I've decided to do with that is break it down to bi-weekly. And we don't really have topics. We kind of have, we're going to discuss maybe concepts in one or two articles, but, we really don't have topics, and wherever it goes from there, it just goes. And we had an episode with Justin Shore and Brad Buck and all of us and me and Scott Kira on there, and it just went on forever about anything. And that was the one where we had recorded and some recording was lost, and Jim kind of missed out on that. Sorry, Jim. But and that one was just, we don't have a topic. We're just making whatever up to go along, and that was one of our better episodes. So. I'm kind of moving away from the we have set topics in a set format to just kind of, we're going to talk about whatever comes to mind, and it seems to work out pretty well.
One of the things that just came up in the chat was about finding guests, and Ron, I know you've got a producer that does this for the Photographers and Models podcast, but what works well for her or for you previously when you were working on that? In terms of finding guests to be part of the show?
Well, when you're working with models and photographers, it's a little different. Well, at least I found it different than when I found the guests for Newbie. There seems to be a higher percentage of likiness among them. One thing that
among
we did...
Among which group? Among the EMS or among the
photographers? No, among the photographers and the models.
Okay.
And I would like to say it was all the models, but it's not all the models. We've had photographers flake on us too. So, yeah, we lose, I'd say, 25% of the people who say they'll be on the show at a particular time aren't. So we try to schedule over that. And as far as EMS, I've interviewed a few people doing the special interviews, and I haven't really had much in the way of trouble. It's really kind of been a surprise to me, and it's a surprise even on the photographer side, how there are people who you think would be just way out of your ballpark, and if you just ask them, they're like, sure, why not? It's just a phone conversation. It's not like it's that big a deal. It doesn't require a lot of prep time on their part. They just get on the phone, and we tell them, we say, it's just like if you were hanging out with a bunch of photographers and we're sitting around a table and we're talking about stuff, and that's exactly what our podcast is like. And for EMS, it's the same thing. I just tell them, don't worry about it. I'm just going to ask you, my newbie questions. I may give them some ideas, like when I interviewed Dr. Bledsoe, I said, I'm reading your book and I have questions, and so I'll ask you questions about the book and everything else. And so I haven't really had a huge problem getting guests. One thing I was going to ask Kyle, Kyle, have you considered batching up PDU so that you don't have to get the doctors on more than once or as often?
They're pretty much shot after an hour. I'm lucky if I get about an hour out of them. Usually they have to run. We will usually record first few moments right after PDU. I'll batch it that way. And mm-hmm. They're ready to go. And actually ready to go after about an hour because of their their time that they have.
Yeah.
Shorter episodes. Do 3 20-minute episodes.
Have you heard Dr. Liu talk?
Well, I've interviewed lots of doctors, and I know that's a challenge to fit into, to keep anything short, if you will.
Yeah, it's just getting our time down. It's more of a scheduling part on my aspect, and I think I'm trying this new method now. We're going to see how that works.
Yeah, and the other thing is that I'm not above just cutting one up if it gets too long and taking a long conversation and making it multiple episodes and giving myself a week where I don't have to do it. I don't think we've done that with Newbie. I think, no, we did. We did do that with the listener questions episode. It got so long that we just said, okay, we're going to go long, and then we'll cut it in half and do it in two parts.
You actually have my one of my moments we did up in Alaska. We did the first pub cast. We actually broadcast from the pub, and we'll actually be dividing that up in two.
Yeah, because I'm kind of wondering, maybe you guys could give me your opinion on how long is too long.
When the topic dries up. I think it really depends on the topic. Some are ideally suited for 15 to 30 minutes, and, you know, I think something like the EMS Educast and the EMS Garage and the ones you guys do is, you know, an hour is just about right. In fact, sometimes you get to an hour and the time is just flowing. You feel like you've still got lots more to talk about.
I mean, my thought when I'm deciding how long is too long is I'm thinking about the listener and how long does your average listener have to sit down and listen? And I actually think that EMS people have longer times than my photographer types. Because I think of the photographer types as sitting in their car driving to work, and they have about a 20, 30-minute commute. And I think of, you know, from feedback I've got from listeners to EMS podcasts, it's I'm sitting on the ambulance and station in system management, and I'm just there all night, so I have longer. Or, you know, we're sitting in the station, and I have longer to listen. And I'm looking for something to fill that time.
Yeah, for me as a listener, my life works well with 20-30 minute long podcasts, but that's me personally. One of the things I always wonder about is like how much sort of chit chat, logistics sort of things, announcements do you cover at the start of the show? I was just listening to a podcast the other day where they're bantering about the weather, and I was thinking, good grief, get on with it already. And then I thought of that tonight as I bantered about the weather, you know, because that can really impact the length of a show, is how long it takes you to actually get to the topic.
Yeah, but you need that kind of ease into it time too, that people have to come back to. You have to kind of balance it.
The ease in time can't be like super excessive. Like I was listening to a podcast that recently just went off the air. You know, their episodes were stretching, you know, 2.5 hours. It's like, good gracious. Can I fast forward through this? Or, you know, I'm like doing the circle thing on my iPod, you know, forever trying to find the topic. And then I'm rewinding it because they started it an hour before, you know, it's like 2.5 hours long. So I'm, you know, 90 minutes into it, like, oh, gosh, is it ever going to end?
Equally bad are those...
Go ahead, Rob.
I was going to say, equally bad are those scripted introductions where there's music in the background and there's someone with an official-sounding voice that just goes on for, you know, 4 or 5 minutes and ended off with, and for CME credits, go to our website at www. If you've got all day to listen to this podcast, get your CME credits.
Well,
go get them.
Yeah, you know, This Week in Tech or Twit or This Week in Google, I try to listen to those, but they have a really long ramp up with all the sponsors, like this show, bandwidth sponsor, you know, video sponsor, and then you add the banter at the front and it just gets like, let's go already. One of the things
The 2X buttons for on your iPod.
Oh, yeah, the 2X. Oh. You know, there's I don't listen with an iPod anymore. I have an Android app.
Double it up. I don't know, maybe you can do it on Android, too, but you can make it go twice as fast.
It's not good when you're driving, though, because then you experience pod rage, because it's too difficult to fast forward while you're driving. Damn this thing.
One of the things that I mentioned last week that I wanted to cover on this show was methods, tips, ideas for distributing and promoting the show. And I know there's the logistical piece of getting your feed into iTunes, and that's probably something that, that people can look for on the web for that sort of how-to. But that's just one part of it. So I'm wondering if you all could tell me about some of the ways that you've used to promote your show and grow your listenership, or at least engage like in your target audience area, grow your listenership in your target audience area.
I think one thing I do is on Facebook, as soon as I post a podcast, I'll go up online, go to Facebook, and just hit all the EMS, paramedic, and EMT pages and put up the new episodes on there and just hammer those. Twitter, of course, is another method. But I've also gone ahead and created little handouts, little card, 4x6 cards that I take with me. If I'm teaching courses, if I'm at conferences, I start to hand those out. And those are, you know, they're about 60 to 50, you know, 50 to 60 bucks for 200, 250 of them.
Ron, what have you and Kelly done to grow the listenership for the newbie?
I don't know that anything we've done has succeeded, but one of the things, you know, he mentioned passing out cards at the conference. We're at the Texas EMS conference. We had CDs made of all of the episodes for Basic. It was called the Best of Basic, and so it was like the first 13 episodes of the show on a CD. I'm trying to remember if it was a CD-ROM or a CD-CD. And we passed those out to people at the show and ended up giving all of those away. I don't know that that actually brought new people in, but they all went. Of course, people take anything for free at a show. What else have we done to promote the thing? I mean, we have a Facebook page, but there's really not a lot of introduction on there, So I don't know about that. And then we've got this new contest, and we'll see how that works as well.
So tell us about the contest. That's one of the things I want to mention tonight. And then I guess tie that into how you think that's going to help you build your listenership.
The contest is, so we announced it this week, actually, that we have arranged, we found sponsors that will send a EMS newbie to Las Vegas for EMS World in August. We're having an essay contest. So they have to write an essay. It'll be graded by a panel of EMS celebrity judges, of which some are on this podcast tonight. And those celebrity judges will judge it, and the winner gets an all-expenses paid trip to Vegas. They get to shadow Dr. Brian Bledsoe in the ER at the Level 1 Trauma Center in Las Vegas, which I'm sure will have some very interesting cases, because it is Vegas after all. And so that's something new. One of the sponsors is EMS World, of course, and so they are going to promote it on their website. And I believe it's going to be on GEMS as well, just sort of an announcement. I'm not positive about that. So that'll drive some traffic from, for lack of a better word, mainstream sites. Plus, we've talked to other podcasters. We're actually making we recorded it on Tuesday, and my audio guy's editing it, but a little spot, if they want to put it, you know, a little like 15, 20-second spot that other podcasters could put in their podcast. We'll see how that works out. I'm sure all the celebrity judges will link to them off our site, and they'll probably be like, you should go do this because it's kind of cool. We'll see. That's one of those things about, if you can network with other people in the community, it allows people who are already kind of in your demographic to hear about your podcast and go check it out. It's one of the things, like when we put that episode of Educast up a couple of weeks ago, I don't know what impact it had on traffic for you guys, but it does allow our listeners, you know, who are newbies and are probably not thinking they should be listening to Educast. That's for educators. That's for their teachers. But that episode is very relevant to the newbie from my point of view. And now they've actually heard an episode of your podcast and have gotten links to it. I mean, we've linked to it before, but hopefully that'll give them a reason to go to the website and then a reason maybe to subscribe to it.
Yeah. Well, thanks again for posting that.
That makes me think that we should do an episode, Greg, on what educators, how they perceive their students.
And then you could have one about students and how they perceive their educators.
Mm-hmm. Rock stars.
Rock stars. Well, it may be even, sort of tips from educators about what makes a good student and what makes a student who struggle or have great difficulties.
It would be interesting if you did that in your perspective from educators who weren't in EMS. My wife is an English professor, and it's interesting to see her colleagues talk about learning and then be reading the NAMSE Foundations of Education textbook and how they talk about learning. I find that among English people, English academics, that it's all cognitive, and they don't really have any concept of psychomotor and very little of affective. But those are all the cornerstones of the way we teach EMS.
In the affective domain, you will listen to me and you will do as I say.
And yeah, we don't care how bored you are with this. You are still going to read it.
That's right.
That you bring up an interesting point there that just to take a touch away from podcasting is that we do become a little isolated in our field, that you can gain a great deal by how other professions educate. And you're correct, English focuses on the cognitive and affective domain. There is not a lot of psychomotor kinesthetic skills, different kinds of professions, but there's still some very interesting things I think that you can learn from all professions. So don't discount those learning opportunities there.
Hey, Jim, how about you? Has there been specific things that you've done that have helped you grow the listener base for your show?
Well, I do a lot like what Kyle does. I'll go ahead and post the podcast coming up on some of the Facebook groups and Facebook pages that are out there. I try to hit them all every week, after week, because then it's like you're almost spamming them, and then people kind of maybe a little aggravated with you. So I try to kind of alternate it. I'll pick two or three one week and two or three another week. I also, even with my own members on my website, I try to, plug it on the newsletter, and I'll mention it in emails that I send out and stuff like that. And I also do stuff at the contest you mentioned. I haven't actually kind of stressed that lately on the podcast, but it's kind of an ongoing thing where I try to get people to comment on what they've heard, and if they the first person to comment on whatever they've listened to in the podcast, they'll win a prize, maybe some kind of a download. Maybe I'll ship them something like an EMS 2.0 pin or something like that as kind of a reward for listening and for commenting. It kind of gets people maybe a little motivated to come take a listen and give their point of view, and kind of helps with the interaction a little bit too. So that's some of the things that I do, and then on top of just pretty much trying to get that domain out there wherever I can.
The final thing that I'm thinking about is monetizing the podcast, whether it be advertising or selling related products. And there's some podcasts that I listen to that are clearly sponsored, and it's a big part of the show. Where it must be a cash paid up front sponsorship. There's other podcasts where there's affiliate marketing. That's there's so many podcasts that are, this is brought to you by Audible, and basically the host gets some sort of fee if a listener signs up and they go beyond the free trial and actually become a paid subscriber in the affiliate marketing model. And then there's other podcasts that exist behind a paywall, and you got to pay just to get access to it. And I'm wondering if any of you have thought about ways to monetize podcasts, or if you have a philosophical position about not wanting to do that, either as a listener or as a podcaster.
I think it's something that we have to look at. I think we need to start looking towards along that line, but it's still a medium that's not quite accepted by a lot of the advertisers. You look at some of the podcasts out there that are the larger ones, such as EMS Garage, and Chris is just starting to get some sponsorship support. You've got Jamie Davis with the ProMed Network, and they're just kind of starting to get on that support aspect. And really start to grow. And as I think the advertisers and the market start to accept podcasting and these essentially radio shows to be a valid medium for their products, I think it'll take a little bit more time.
I think trying to generate some income to do the show is good. My pet peeve is when I subscribe to a podcast and then it stops being for free on iTunes and you have to go to the website and there's a subscription fee. EMRAP did that and they had some good shows. But you know, I really wonder if their shows were that good that they could actually generate, you know, get people to subscribe to them. Well, obviously it must be working for them, but I just find that profoundly annoying when you start watching a show or subscribing to a show and then they put it behind a wall on a website and say, here, you know, pay us $250 per year and you can continue to watch these, you know, that kind of a teaser. I think if you take the other approach where the listeners are completely unaware that you're making money on the show and they just continue to subscribe for free and you have sponsors, my personal philosophy on that is that's a better approach and certainly more listener friendly.
I just don't want to have to deal with advertisers.
Yeah, it certainly adds another logistical expectation to the show and how you manage that. And then, you know, for the record, listeners, we're not making any money on this show, but we certainly would be interested.
donations.
Well, I don't see that as much as I used to, but there certainly was a time when people would have little donate or, you know, sort of tip jar on their website or something. But that seems to sort of gone by the wayside. And Ron, have you had advertised? Have you made a decision not to advertise with the newbie, or have you not just had time to explore it?
I would monetize it in a second.
Yeah.
If anybody's listening and they want to advertise on the show, I'll give them a price tomorrow.
Yeah.
We just haven't really had anybody who's wanting to do that. And I don't have time to go out and find those people. Plus, I'm not positive how good a salesman I would be. I think looking at EMS, you know, comparing that to photography, which I also would monetize and have a little bit, but not in the same way, I think there's... I don't know, when you have a product, I try to look at it from the advertiser's point of view. So you have a product and you're looking for the best place to get it to. I think that there are products that would do really well for newbies that might not do as well, say, on the garage. Or they wouldn't do as, like, I would think that a test prep company would do really well with EMS Newbie. Because I know I used a test prep when I did basic, and I'll probably do it when I do paramedic. And so they would, you know, they're going straight for that audience. And so if they were to, you know, even offer us an affiliate deal where if we sent people to a link, we got a kickback if they, you know, a percentage if they actually signed up, I think that would be a good thing. But I just haven't had time to do that. And I think there's a lot of EMS products. In a way, EMS is a huge market, and in another way, it's kind of a small market. I think a lot of the big dollar things that the big companies are trying to sell aren't aimed at the provider. They're aimed at the manager. So I would think a management podcast would have a much easier job getting, say, Zoll or Philips to put an ad for their heart monitors on there, because those are the guys who make the decisions to spend that money. But nobody on my show is making the decision on what kind of monitor their service is going to have. And I think we need to be, as podcasters, need to be able to show them how many people they can reach with our podcast and what the people in our podcast are looking to actually spend money on. But that's a thing I haven't had time to do so far.
Yeah, Red Bull and Slim Jims.
Well, it would seem to make sense to me that you would need to know, and I was, as I'm listening to this, is we would need to know what our audience really is.
Right.
You know, not just the downloads, but who listens, where are they in the organization, how long have they been in EMS? Because I know that those are big aspects of the journals that are out there, you know, the trade journals. You know, they like to know that audience and demographic, so they, when they're trying to get advertisers to pay for advertisement, they know what the potential are. As I know, when I've placed ads, when our organization has been looking for new employees and we've placed ads on some of the trade journals, it's interesting, they'll call, they don't let you alone, and then they call back, and they have the infrastructure, and I'm just not sure podcasting, at least maybe in the EMS, has reached that critical mass or level to be able to leverage an interest from the people who sell EMS related stuff.
Well, clearly that infrastructure piece of both knowing your audience well enough and then being able to communicate it, and then to cultivate leads in terms of advertisers and then service those advertisers, gets really complex. And I wonder if shows that end up going behind a paywall, like what their listener percentage drop is, their listenership drop is. But then if those podcasts that do it, if they decide it's worth it in terms of just their time.
The non-EMS podcasts that I've heard of that do go behind a paywall, they'll say that they'll lose 95%, only about 5% of their people are going to end up actually paying to go behind the paywall. They're getting nothing from the 95%,
right,
and say they're getting $5 or $10 a month from 5%, suddenly they're making money and they weren't before.
Right. I would think any medical podcast as well, if you're going to go behind the wall and charge a fee, you'd have to have a much more formalized set of podcasts with objectives and questions at the end, so you can turn them into CME credits and get recognition from various agencies and associations.
Yeah, and that's something actually I've tossed around a bunch of times. There's places in the States where EMS instructors need to do instructor methodology, CE, and certainly we have had episodes that have covered instructor methodology. And if we added objectives and a set of quiz questions, we could probably get that accredited either by a national organization or a state organization for CE. But it's just it's come down to a time thing for me to get that started. But if there's a groundswell of listeners that emailed us and said, yes, do that, I'd certainly look into it more.
Have any of you tried a survey?
No, we have not done a survey. Buck Ferris and I, when Buck was co-hosting, he and I talked about it a couple times, and again, we just ran out of time to construct it.
Yeah, that's the problem, time.
Yeah.
Ron, I think your podcast and Kyle's would be easy enough to turn into, CE credits, but it takes time to put objectives together for each show and develop a series of questions and do that on a consistent basis. That becomes almost.
Do you have to have the objectives before the show?
Well, I don't think so. No, because
I think you can do it afterwards.
You do it afterwards. Yeah,
that's my thought process. We've got almost 100 episodes. We could probably go back and pull out 6 of them, listen to them again, write a set of objectives, write a set of quiz questions, put it up as a CE product, where you can verify that. I mean, that's part of the challenge too, is there's got to be some process of record keeping and certificate issuing to give people something that's actually usable or locally medical director approval.
And we have really casual conversations. You would have to tighten it up and make it a little more formal and a little more sort of pedagogy focused, whereas the clinical stuff like Kyle does and Ron does, much easier, right, because it's clinical and you can put together objectives and questions easily enough. With us, I find the trouble with some podcasts that go with CE, they sound a lot more scripted,
Right.
They sound rehearsed, and I just find them really boring.
Yeah.
There may need to be a degree of tightness, but still a possibility. I think we're getting a little off our track
right
here.
Yeah, well,
I think we're about in an hour, are we not?
Yes, we are. Our track should head to the closing. So, Bill, do you have a request for what everyone shares as their final thoughts or their closing here?
Well, I just need to thank them for taking, in some cases, two different times of their evening to come and share their experience with us. I have found this absolutely fascinating, and I applaud them for taking the time to do podcasting, because I just think it's a wonderful way to spread information, and it's, for me, just a great experience. So I'm just going to thank them profusely for taking the time and sharing, and for their passion to do podcasting, because I think it's a great way to continue to learn. As informal as it might be, it's still a form of learning. So thank you, guys.
Maybe go ahead, Rob.
I was going to say, yeah, I've enjoyed doing these last two episodes as well, and I hope our listeners, some of whom might be interested in doing their own podcast, will take some of the things they've heard from tonight and last week's episode and develop their own podcast. There are so many thousands of podcasts out there, and the numbers just are growing exponentially on a daily basis. It's incredible, and I think there's plenty of room for lots of good quality EMS related podcasts. So I'm hoping our shows and the shows of our guests will inspire people to develop their own podcasts. I hate to say, you know, compete with us, because we're not making any money, so we're not really competing, but it'd be great to see more people out there.
Yeah, it sure would. How about I'll just go down the line here, Ron and Russell, and then Jim and then Kyle, just a final thought to close the show. So Ron, you first, final thought.
You know, you mentioned, Rob just said something about, we're just doing, I don't remember what exactly, but it made me think of something I heard, it was like 3-4 years ago, someone said, have we already missed it, this whole internet video audio thing, and the person he was asking was Gary Vaynerchuk, and he was like, no, you have not missed it, it is just starting, we are at this so at the very beginning. We have our heads immersed in tech stuff, and we look around and we think, wow, look at all these people who are doing so much more than I am. And we don't compare that to the vast mass of people who have never even heard of podcasting. And I think 2-3 years later, that's still true, that we're still just at the beginning. So if you're sitting out there and you listen to this and go, that's great for all those guys that are already there and we're not, you're still at the beginning. So I'd encourage anybody who thinks they have something to say to go ahead and plan out 10-20 episodes and then batch them up and start your own podcast.
Great tip. Great final thought. Russell, how about you? Final thought?
There's so many applications to podcasting. I'll share one non-EMS idea is that some members of my, I play paintball and airsoft and all that stuff on my off time. And we've discussed the idea of when we get back from these major events is creating a podcast of like our after action reviews. And so, I mean, there's so many different applications that we could, that can be used for this. So if you happen to stumble across this episode or any of ours and think, man, this would be a really cool idea, you know, try it. It's basically a free medium to do, you know, any topic that you would ever want to do. You know, if you thought about being on the radio before, something like that, I mean, there's just so many applications for this. And if you get out there and you only get one or two downloads at first, you know, wait a while and see what happens. Don't be discouraged.
Thanks, Russell. Jim, how about a final thought from you?
Well, pretty much the same thing. I mean, I would suggest anyone out there looking to get into this, whether it's audio podcasting or maybe even video podcasting, which is also kind of becoming a little popular as well, is just kind of stick with it. You know, get your schedule, stick to it, and, you know, you'll find you'll slowly start getting the downloads, you'll slowly start getting the viewers and the listeners, and going a little bit back, what we said before as far as, like, marketing stuff is just to... you know, collect those email addresses so you can always let your listeners know what the next topic is, what you're up to, and keep them in the loop because they want to be included, which is why they're probably listening in the first place, because they want to be included in what we're all doing. So that's pretty much my main final thoughts. And just, again, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I love these topics and everybody else's point of view and what they're talking about.
Great, Jim. Thanks for being part of the show. Kyle?
I think my thought is very simple. Have fun. Have fun planning it. Have fun putting together your website. Have fun recording it. Because if you don't have fun, it's going to show on the podcast. If you're not laughing and having a reasonable good time, people will definitely see that on the podcast. If you have a good time, keep it within reason and lead your audience, or I should say lead your guests. It's going to come through and people will enjoy it. So that's my best thing. Have fun.
Yeah, I think that having fun piece is really important too, because it's about an hour and 15 minutes a week that I choose to not be doing something with my family. So I better be both like having fun and getting something professionally out of this, as well as feeling like I'm doing something valuable for our listeners. Speaking of which, listeners, we continue to appreciate your support. And please, as always, if there's episodes that you really enjoy, make sure you're sharing those with your colleagues. Help us grow the show, add more listeners. We've gotten some great requests for show topics and guests recently that I'm working on scheduling. So keep making those suggestions either by emailing us at emseducast@gmail.com. You can also go to facebook.com/emseducast and just write on our wall your guest suggestions or topic suggestions, or also at emseducast on Twitter are all ways that you can connect with us. I have shows lined up between now and August already, so the EMS Educast is going to go strong right past our 100th episode in a couple weeks and keep marching forward, and we do it because we have fun, and people keep listening and keep telling us they enjoy it, and for that, we appreciate it. And to all our guests this week and last week, thanks so much for both your time, but your contributions to the EMS profession. I feel like this time period of EMS is being better documented than any other time period in the history of EMS, and it's a lot to do with blogs and podcasts are chronicling the history of EMS right now. And so I appreciate all of you and what you're doing. Thanks for a great show.